Hi everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Bree.
And this is CSI Talk. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Hi to the newcomers. Hello to everyone who has been here since day one. Before we get into today's episode, if I sound tired, and I'm sorry. I just got back from Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. It's a great movie. Okay, it's a great movie. So if you're reading the reviews, like, just go by yourself and just watch it. Okay, just watch the movie. It's a great movie. Elizabeth Olsen stole the show. But before we get into today's episode, just want to let you know that this is a safe space for you, okay? This is a safe space for you, so whenever you want to come here to just shut off the outside world and just listen to two girls talking about their favorite science show, we're here for you. So, as we said last week, today we're going to be breaking down the character of Riley Adams. We only saw her for one season and one
episode. Just one season.
Yeah. And this is a post-Warwick season. It's when they just lost Warwick and then she just show up out of the blue. So, Riley, according to CSI Wiki, she was born on November 11th of 1979, and she's a CSI level 2. Her parents are both psychologists, and she decided to get into law enforcement to kind of get under their skin. She reveals that on her very first episode, and I'm just gonna say her first episode is actually a pretty iconic episode, if you ask me.
Shout out to Alex Kingston.
Like, the episode that she comes in is just amazing. I think it's this guy this artist who is killing people and turning them into statues. Into, like, kind of like living statues until people find out they're actually human beings.
And then Super Dave joking around the bodies.
Grissom has been making jokes about the dead for how many years now?
I know, but this episode just was peak jokes.
I mean, there is a joke he kept saving for this one specific moment, which he made in CSI Vegas. Hey, Watson, the game is at foot, and then he's holding an actual foot.
I bet, yes.
Was he waiting for him to make that pun, though? Oh, but back to Riley. So this episode is quite iconic, if you ask me, because she managed to save this little boy's life. And as we said, this is a post-Warwick, so the first episode that she gets in is the third episode of season 1. So Sarah left in episode 2, and Riley just showed up, and Grissom is in deep depression right now. And then she just shows up, and she has no weapon. And then Grissom just showed up, oh, you're Riley Adams. And then Riley's like, yeah, I'm Gil Grissom, I'm your supervisor, you have a body. I love how Grissom is just like, okay, you just show up right now, sorry, no time for introductions, you have a body to go, you have a scene to go to. And it's really remarkable because this guy that they have is it's a serial, right? It's a serial killer because the guy killed more than 3 people. And I'm sorry for the noise. And kind of iconic, actually, the way that she got in. And then the psychologist tried to break her, but she more like kind of tries to
makes her to realize that she might not be accepted in the team, which could have been a bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think it could, because Riley wasn't really accepted into the team, was she? I mean, that's kind
Greg
of...
Greg and Nick accepted her. Greg and Nick accepted her, but...
Look,
Greg had pressure on any female near his age. That was on the team.
Catherine's Catherine, I mean... I know they would have preferred if Sarah had come back and stayed with them. I'm sure they would. But Sarah wasn't ready to come back. Sarah wasn't ready to come back, and even if she did, I don't think Conrad actually could have, you know, could have ignored all the regulations that she and Grissom broke.
Well, this time around, they did book the last case of CSI together.
Yep. And she gets part of the Nate Haskell, this, like, Ray gets introduced. That's the thing, like, Ray got introduced a few episodes later. And the team immediately took him in, but it wasn't the same for Riley.
I think the reason why the team took Ryan is because one of their own...
Yeah, I was gonna say that Grissom picked Ray for the team. So the team was like, oh, Grissom picked him, so he must be special. But actually picked Riley for the team. Sarah was also picked by Grissom. And she wasn't taken in so easily as Ray was.
Only like two people that was Catherine and Warwick. Warwick was understandable. Catherine was during that time frame.
I mean, look, we've said this before, it's probably bad writing when it comes to female characters in TV shows as famous as CSI and the 2000s. Probably it's because they thought that the audience would grow if you put the only two main female characters fighting against each other. But that is wrong. That never works and never will work. And Riley was a good CSI, okay? She was a great CSI. She could have been a part of the team. She was a better CSI than Ray.
And she was always running the naughty stuff.
She got there, and she was breaking the, like, she literally broke the case, the first case that she ever worked on with him. She broke
and
it.
And I think that's part of why she didn't work. She was a combination between Walk and Sarah in one person.
Yeah, I know that everyone was grieving when she arrived, because the team was already formed, you know, by the time she arrived. The team was already formed. We saw that iteration for about 9 years now. They lost two of their personnel. One of them was murdered, and the other one, her mental health was not strong enough to continue working.
And the boss was literally in the middle of a mental breakdown. And the only person who really seemed to care at that point was Hodges.
Yeah.
The person that they couldn't stand.
Exactly. And look, this is what I really wanted to say. Like, Grissom would snap at Riley for the smallest things. Like, that episode, that Korean town episode, he snapped at her because she talked to the suspect on her own. But Grissom, how many times have you done to the kid? Not the suspect, the kid. The kid was a witness. Grissom, how many times have you spoken to witnesses before?
But how many times did you talk to kids without anybody around?
I mean,
kids are different.
I think if Sarah had done that, Grissom wouldn't. If Sarah was the one who had talked to that kid, I don't think Grissom would snap.
I think he would have, because he would have snapped at anybody. Because...
I don't think Sarah or anyone from the team would actually made that mistake.
Yes, exactly. So, she did break protocol with that thing, because kids have to have somebody from Child Protective Services or child legal representations around, whether it be, that's the law.
But I think Grissom was napping at her because she was new and he didn't really take her in. Let's just take a moment here and just put yourself in her shoes. You got to this new job. The team is already formed, okay? So you don't know exactly what happened, but I'm pretty sure at that point Hodges would have filled her in about what had happened, who was worked, who was saved. Probably she had heard of Natalie Davis. You know, she probably heard about Natalie Davis at that point in time, but she didn't know how close Sarah and Grissom were. So Hodges would have probably told her all the gossip in the lab, because we know Hodges had done that with NCSI Vegas. We know that he had done that, so I'm pretty sure he did this now with Riley. And then a couple of months after you arrive, your supervisor leaves.
Peace.
And then this other woman, this other co-worker that never really took you in, suddenly she's your boss now. And then you realize that...
And you get basically held as a hostage.
Because now somebody that your former boss picked is now part of your team. And even if he does something wrong, people wouldn't call him on it. They would teach him. But if you messed up, they will call you on it. So you cannot mess up. You cannot do it. And then you kind of like, you have some friends. I mean, you do have three actually. Nick, Hodges, and Greg. But other than that, not all.
Doc.
I was going to say that. Doc was probably the first person that actually took her in.
Well, that was Doc. He's a big teddy bear.
And if I was in this type of work environment, I mean, I would have quit when I could. So probably, I think that's when I actually realized that Catherine wasn't a really good supervisor. Because she couldn't... She knew she could do Grissom's job. But she couldn't really divide and conquer, you know. And like in that episode when Sarah comes back, Eckley is mad at Catherine. He's like, yeah, this is what you did. This is the reason why Riley laughs. Eckley's like, okay, I'm gonna put her interview on your desk. Can you read it? So next scene, you see Catherine arriving in her office. There are like two, three stacks of papers on top of her desk. And then on top of it is Riley's last interview. And then she sits down and reads it, and she realizes that Riley was right.
The team lacks cohesion.
And I think that's the point when Catherine realizes, I'm not Grissom, I can't be Grissom. That's when Sarah comes in, and Sarah's like,
check for the lineup.
Yep, that's how Nick ends up being assistant supervisor.
I just love that baseball analogy.
Apparently when you get married, you have to learn about your spouse's interests.
No, you tend to show your spouse's inner interest. Just rest out of you. I know.
One thing that I really want to talk about, it's when Riley and Ray gets held. They
get held hostage?
Yeah, and no way out. The
first time?
Yeah, so as we said before, there's a list of characters that CSI writers do not kidnap. Actually, this list is only compromised of one character, Gil Grissom. The other characters are all eligible to be held a hostage or kidnapped.
Yeah.
I really like I think that's it, those type of situations really when Ray and Riley were put together to work
by themselves.
And
why could, by themselves? Riley was what, a level 2 and Ray was a level 1? You don't never have a 2 and 1 together. You're supposed to have at least 1-3.
And there were, I just have to say this, Riley was driven by work, was driven by the fact that she had to solve the case, no matter the costs. And Ray was driven by the fact that he wanted to save a life to kind of make up for what he had done. If you don't know who Ray is, I mean, Ray was a coroner at a hospital and there was an angel of death working in the hospital and he didn't realize that until it was too late. And then he became a teacher and then he gets an interview with Nate Haskell and then Grissom goes undercover and then Ray finds himself in the middle of the investigation and then Grissom offers him a job as a CSI and Ray takes it. So Ray, when he was investigating these crimes, he was driven by the fact that he wanted to save a life to make up for what he hadn't done in the past, whilst Riley would be driven by the fact that, yeah, they do have to save a life, but lives of future victims. And if she saw an opportunity to get the suspect out of a situation and take him in, she would take it. And that's a difference between her and Ray. And I don't think, even if Riley would have said something to Catherine about the way Ray behaved when they were working cases together, I don't think it would have worked a lot, because I don't think Catherine would even say a thing. I mean, that episode and with the that chips, those casino chips.
The last episode.
I think that's what actually settled that she had to leave, because they're on this chase with this suspect and she had to get to the suspect, but Ray just gets into the dish, even though the suspect and Ray just gets in there, and then Ray's like, he's not gonna do anything, he's injured. Dude, if he managed to keep himself hidden for so long, and he has a gun, you can be sure as hell that he was going to do something to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Riley felt that difference because that's the thing. If she messed up, everybody would complain. But if Ray were to make a mistake, nobody would say a word.
Yep. Nobody really. Well, Kevin did try to say stuff to him with Nate Haskell, and he wouldn't listen.
Look, the Nate Haskell storyline is the only thing that we can save from this whole Ray fiasco. As I recently learned, this, like, casting Hollywood actors to do TV shows was something that was really big at the time, so
Billy Peterson was a Hollywood actor.
Yeah, I mean, but he chose
was to more do this.
Yeah, but, I mean, they cast Lawrence Fishburne, which I think CSI was his first TV role. I'm not saying that he's a bad actor, but
it wasn't his last TV role either. He was actually on Blackish for all seasons.
No, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that he didn't do a good job, because he did. I think it was just the writing. The one thing that comes to my mind when I think about Riley is the same thing that happened to Rachel Nichols in CSI when she was playing Ashley in Criminal Minds. Well, like this recruit from the FBI who decides to become a profiler, so she's working with the BAU, and she only got one season, and then she left. She was written off. The same thing happened here. I don't know if at the time the fans didn't like her.
Oh, fans hated her.
No, I know.
When you introduce a new character, you don't want them to look like the character they replaced. And you don't want them to have same characteristics as the character you replaced. You want a totally new character.
I know AJ Cook and Rachel Nichols, really, they do physically, they do really look alike. I don't think the cast and department should have done that choice, especially, I mean, they do look alike, but there's this one, maybe they were trying to do with Riley here, what they did to Sophia back then. It was kind of what they wanted to do with Nate Haskell, like, whatever they did, whatever magic they pulled in season 7, they wanted to do the same thing here, but instead of being Grissom, Natalie Davis was supposed to be Ray with Nate Haskell, and then you have this character to just fulfill a role left vacant by Sarah and Warwick. I understand why Warwick had to be written off the show, but...
And Georgia Fox wanted out, even though she came back.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think a show that stays on for a long time, essentially a show that solves crimes, it has to keep updating the cast and all that and keep working and having a cohesive cast.
And like, Criminal Minds kept most of the same cast. CSI kept most of the same cast. And NCIS, from season 3 to 9, exact same cast. Well, except with the director. But that was not one that the director was supporting. And then 14 to 19, same. And now they're revamping the cast, except with only 2 main characters left. That's been on since season 1 and 2.
You know, this is one of the things that one of the points of the storylines that I really wanted to bring out is the fact that one of the things they are doing now with CSI Vegas is actually showing the raw emotions of the characters. And they had a great opportunity to do that in season 9, but we never really saw them grieving. We never saw how they grieve for Warwick. We saw a bit of that in the DB era when like this man dies over Warwick's grave, and then like there's a flower that was left there by Nick recently. We see them at the funeral. We see
the only person who really tried to support Tina was Sarah.
Yeah, and we also see, like, when Grissom is leaving, we see, like, this paper of, like, remembering Warwick. That is all, and this is what they wanted to change in CSI Vegas to allow us to see the emotions, the raw emotions in the characters. When Sarah is being interviewed by Noah Cross, we finally get a glimpse at some of her relationship with Grissom, but why did it take her so long to see something like that?
Like, Grissom would tell everybody a bit of their evils, so she probably knew already what he thought, because we know from Evaluation Day, he would tell them some of it.
Yeah, but you know what, I think I'm saying this with a Gen Z perspective. I think I would have liked to see some of this raw emotions of the characters, because if you see any episode of season 9, if you've never seen CSI in your life and you see some episode in season 9 in which Rustam is still on the team, you would have never noticed that this man was in deep depression.
Except for Levar All the Rest.
That episode is a masterpiece, but by the way, if you haven't already, check out our breakdown of this episode. But that episode was a masterpiece. That episode is actually incredibly sad, but a really masterpiece on its own. Probably one of my favorite episodes in the history of CSI. And Riley wasn't into this episode. I think Riley understood to a point that the team was upset by Warwick.
Well, she really did, because her parents were therapists.
And none of them were actually talking to the freaking therapist, man. And
Greg did. Greg did. So did Hodges. You see that in the deleted scene.
I think Hodges was feeling guilty.
We knew, even just from the show, regular episode, that Hodges talked to her because Patricia Outwick, another shout out to Alice Kingston, one of my favorite actresses, that when she came to Grayson saying, I went around asking everybody who Hank was until David Hodges came in, he's your dog.
God. I laughed, but I shouldn't have.
I was like,
come and see that.
Thing is, for me, Alex Kingston has played a psychiatrist, a lawyer, a bespoke psychopath.
She's a shifter, isn't she?
Yes. She's also played a doctor.
Oh,
she just has the doctors. She's played a surgeon and a archaeologist. That's just roles in the early 2000s. Well, the surgeon was late 90s and to the mid 2000s. But, you know.
Like,
it's Alex Heath.
When Riley first gets introduced, she says she had enough of psychologists for a lifetime. But I think she should have gone to a session or two with the therapist.
With Patricia?
Yeah. I think she should have gone there for a few sessions at least, because the team that she was put in was going through a hell of a trauma.
Yes.
And I think they finally understood, like, at some point, not in depth, but at some point, how Sarah felt having to come back to work in the same place that the person that did something really bad to you was working. Because we said this before in our breakdown of season 7, in our earliest episode, that Sarah probably felt like her PTSD got aggravated by the fact that she was working in the same place as her kidnapper was. And to some degree, McKean was working in the lab right beside these people for years. And none of them ever doubted that one day McKean might pull the trigger on one of their own.
Well, Brass knew he was shady.
Oh, so Brass should have told Grissom some of this gossip.
And as we talked about, I don't know if we did Red Rum. I know we talked about it personally, about how McKean screwed. No, that was Red Rum, because it's Reborn for Murder, aka Steve McKean. Red Rum's also Seth Chuckman's Steve McKean. Sorry for my slight tangent. He's the one who screwed up the reverse forensic stuff. Oh no, we talked about McKean breakdown and the war. No, the McKean breakdown.
Yeah,
we haven't breakdown Red Rum, but that's.
Don't check that out.
Tangents.
Like, I think it was really hard for Riley to work with them.
And fully grasp how much they love Ward.
Yeah.
Like, Greg was not as close to Ward as everybody else was. But granted, he's the one who went to go see Patricia Alwick. And we found out later that Catherine went to go see her. Nick never did. Catherine tried to force Nick to go see a therapist after everything with Justin Bieber's character.
I understand why they don't want to go to a therapist, because I think they would have been afraid. Most people are afraid to go to a therapist and hear some shit.
And also, their job, they have to be able to control their emotions. If they're if they were seen to see...
I think they would have been scared. They would have been, because the therapist might say something like, you're not ready to get back to work. I think all the team wasn't really ready to go back to work after what happened to
Greg, Greg did talk to her. Nick refused. Nick, let's not get into why, properly. But Nick. Let's just say that.
Nick, right? Doesn't really surprise me that he wouldn't go talk to her. I think Greg and Nick took the situation like they decided to do what Warwick would have liked them to do. So I think that's the main reason why they took Riley in immediately. I think that's the reason why.
Greg knew Sarah would want that.
Yeah, they knew that both Sarah and Warwick would have wanted them to take Riley in as one of their own. I think if Sarah had known that Grissom was flipping out on Riley, I think Sarah would probably say something like, chill out, okay?
Yeah, what's Grissom? Stop this.
Like, what are you doing? Just exactly what do you think you're doing?
This is a young girl. She's younger than Greg. Stop it.
Like, she's just started working for you. What is wrong with you? And Grissom would say, do you want me to say what's wrong with me physically? What's wrong with me mentally? What is wrong with me psychologically?
Well, mentally and psychology is, you know what I'm trying to say with that one, are kind of the same thing.
You know, I think season 9 gave us good things.
All seasons gave us some good things. That's just my opinion. I'm a fan of the whole show. I'm a fan of the franchise.
Of the whole show, too, but... You know what? It's kind of sad. Like, that episode, I don't remember right now, but it's an early episode in season 9. I think this is, like, the first case that started working. I think it was before Riley shows up. This woman jumps off her building.
Yes, that was the second episode.
And then Grissom's phone is ringing, and Sarah's like, that is the lab. Aren't you going to pick it up? And Grissom's like, no. Why didn't you turn off your phone then?
And as when she does that, you can see her kind of rubbing his chest.
Okay, let's not get into detail. This is a PG-13 podcast, right? This is a PG-13 podcast. Okay, I get it. She's showing me pictures right now. I get it.
It was called The Happy Place.
What do we think of Riley? I think Riley is a great character that wasn't really fully developed as she should have had.
Because, to me, she had personality exactly, like, a 50-50 mix between Warp and Sarah. I'm not a big fan of her.
I think she was only put there to fill a void.
Yes.
And when that, like, eventually that void would have been filled by Sarah in the next season.
And, you know, Sarah, you know, we love her. Yes, she has flaws.
Okay, look, I love Sarah. Sarah's absolutely my favorite character in the whole franchise. Like, George Fox, if you're listening to this, I love you. But, like, Sarah's be the first person to defend Sarah at all costs, okay? But the point is, they literally created Riley to fit a void left by Sarah and Warwick. That's probably why Bree sees a mix-up of Warwick and Sarah's qualities in Riley. But then once Sarah was coming back, well, I think she thought her character wasn't going anywhere, which was right. Riley wasn't really going anywhere. She didn't really have the storylines of her own. It was just a filler character. I don't know if that's a thing.
It is.
Yeah, so she was literally just a filler character, and at some point she realized that. Even though she was upgraded to main cast actors, to main cast actress, I
And
think she knew
episodes.
that she wouldn't actually go nowhere. She didn't have a major plot line, a major storyline. She didn't. They like Lawrence Fishburne shows up, and then he already shows up with a storyline that links him to Nate Haskell.
And the Dick
But
and Jane
that.
killer, and the Dick and Jane killer that they were investigating with a copycat, actually, that they were investigating.
So, like, we have two new characters, but only one of them has an actual concrete storyline. But when it comes to Riley, they didn't give her that. Like, why? What was the reason? I really want to talk to the writer that wrote Riley. Why didn't give my girl some major plot point? Because it would have been really interesting to see how she would react to threats like this, you know. Because we know that how she acts when she is like when danger is around. She wants to solve the case. She's really direct like that. So why wasn't she given a major plot point like this? Like backstory or someone, you know,
We
coming
got a little bit of
over.
backstory. We got stuff about appearance and stuff about her losing a bunch of teeth as a teenager and a kid through accidents and other stuff.
Maybe like we know her parents were psychologists, but do we know that if they're alive? What if they were killed and that's what actually she was motivated? That's one of the motivations as to why she became a CSI. And then maybe.
It's like from when she talked about her parents were still alive.
Okay, maybe we can have like something happen to someone close to her, and then this perpetrator comes back in a future episode. I don't know, sending her a direct message, and then this is like one of the major plot lines. It could have been something like that, but it wasn't. And that's one thing that it is a problem in shows from this time, because they wouldn't actually give female characters major plot lines, even if they were main characters. Like, okay. 2 seasons before, we had Sarah and the Miniature Killer. Okay, I know that. Okay, I get
And we also
it.
we have regular storylines about Catherine. About
Yeah.
Catherine and Eddie, about Catherine and the lawyer who actually at the time was her real life husband.
But I think that's actually because they have been on the show for a while at that point, both of them.
And
So.
Emily quickly had stuff all about her in Criminal Minds. Morgan instantly had stuff about her in CSI. Ben instantly had stuff about her in CSI.
So what was wrong with Riley? Why wasn't she given a major plot point? Like, I really want to know why. I don't think someone will ever tell us why, but I think she was a phenomenal character who could have been it could have been great if she was given a major storyline or some plot point. I say what I
Yeah.
say. Okay, because we know she was a great character. We know she was a great CSI. She didn't see eye to eye with Ray. So that could have been a future problem for them. So why wasn't she given something to try? I think they were really trying to replicate whatever they had done in season 7 and hoping to God it will work. But whatever they did in season 7, that last one season, they needed a few seasons to do it right now. Because instead of you having one serial killer, you now have two, in which the main character. No, actually, you now have three, in which now your main character, the one that you chose to substitute Grissom, is responsible for. Why does this man get three serial killers and Riley gets none?
Riley's first episode was serial killer.
But I mean, like a major plot point that lasted for a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Riley didn't get, I think it would have been, Riley didn't get that, and I think it would have been great if we had gotten that. Because we know that she was a smart CSI. She was on the Sarah level, okay? So I want to see something like that. That's what I was missing in this episode without Sarah. I
I don't
want.
think she was quite on Sarah's level.
What do you guys think? Do you think that she was in Sarah's level or not? I think she was really, really smart. She saw connections in the case that no one else did.
Well, that, but see, in most cases, she did not see connections right away. Like in the
Well,
episode, I
because
believe.
sometimes you don't have the whole picture. So I think
Like
that's why she didn't.
in the episode where Sarah breaks up with Grissom, she did not see things right away. Yes, she did not have experience with that warning, though she was always finding the naughty stuff.
I think this is a subject that we can talk in another episode. Like, what if, like, the Sarah knew their relationship was falling apart or something? I think we kind of mentioned that on the GSR timeline for two, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Grissom did say to Sarah in the happy place, even though he was, I don't think he was talking about them, maybe he couldn't let it go because at one point a relationship can stay serious where there's.
Well, I can say 100 things about that conversation. What are we talking about next week?
Serial killers. Dun 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 dun.
CSI's most unhinged serial killer, so stay tuned for that. We love you guys. Stay